This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to In Focus. My name is Lonnie Johnson, and my guest this morning is Nita Fran Ward. She is the host of The Art Connection on our station here on Saturdays. Is it 9 to 10?
Yes. No, 8 to
8
9.
8 to 9. Yes. I apologize. Good morning, Nita. How are you?
I'm good. Didn't even know what time I showed.
Well, I should have known.
That's okay.
Nita, if you would, please give our audience that might not know you, because every show has a different audience, a little bit of your history.
Okay. I am born and raised East Texas. I went to TJC, was an Apache Belle, got my fine arts degree at SFA, and spent years being a mother, an at-home mom. And then I owned daycare centers, and then I moved on to being an insurance person, and then I moved on to art, because art was always there. It was always in my heart and in my head. And so I had the opportunity, when my husband Bill and I married, to move in that direction more. I actually got a degree. My master's is in information sciences. But I did that because I was going to be a children's librarian in a school, because my husband was a school superintendent. So I moved on with him. But there was always that art thing. And so when we moved to the Dallas area, I opened my first art gallery.
Where was it in Dallas?
It was actually on my property. We had property just at the edge of Dallas County. Okay. We actually lived close to Wynn Martin.
North, southeast, or west?
It was south.
Okay.
We lived close to Wynn Martin down there in the Lancaster area.
Mm-hmm.
And Janie Fricke was one of our neighbors, and Wynn Martin was one of our neighbors. And so it was a great time. And Bill just built a small building on our property. And what we would do is we would have an all-day art event. Bill would cook barbecue. I would open up the art gallery, send out invitations. People would show up, spend the day sitting around the pool and eating barbecue, and they'd come in and out of the art gallery, and we'd talk art, and we'd talk events, and it was a wonderful thing. Then when he retired and we moved to New Mexico, I opened another art gallery and really went at it in a big way. One of the things that Bill and I did, he was in archery big time. He was shooting semi-professionally for a while. As well as being a superintendent. And what I would do is I would go to Gallup and I would buy Native American jewelry, and then I would take it with us to the archery tournaments, because the women were sitting around doing nothing. And so I became the guilt table, because the men would say, if I take my wife a piece of jewelry, she'll let me come back next time. So I was the guilt table. And I did that for several years, as well as working full time. Then when we moved to New Mexico, it became really kind of untenable, because we added another 4 to 5, 8 hours to our traveling, and that just became almost impossible. So I just hunkered down and opened an art gallery on Bridge Street, historical area of Las Vegas, New Mexico, because we lived about 30 minutes from there. You know, I looked at Santa Fe, but Lonnie, there were so many reasons not to overwhelm. There were reasons to do it. One was another hour's travel. Mm-hmm. It would have been an added hour one way every day. And I didn't want to work full time. I was semi-retired. So I opened the gallery there, and I was there almost 15 years with the gallery there in that area. Had a wonderful time. I went out there looking for a Native American to make jewelry. I wanted him to make it, and I was going to sell it for him.
Looking for a specific Native American.
I was. And I would go to Santa Fe. I would go to Albuquerque. I knew it was something that I was supposed to do. It was in my heart to do. And it was.
So you hadn't picked out this indigenous person yet. You were in search of a specific indigenous person that had the ability to do what you wanted.
Absolutely. And I looked. I would pick up the art, the jewelry, and it was beautiful, but I would look in their face and in their eyes, and it wasn't it. And after we moved to Panderay, I moved out there a year before Bill did, and I built a home. And I was there 3 weeks, and I was sitting in a beauty salon, and the lady asked me what I was doing there. And I said, well, the real reason I'm here, and I told her about looking for the Native American kid guy. I said, I want to find someone that I can help them. And she tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, I know exactly who you need to meet. She called him. He came out there, and I have to tell you, Lonnie, I looked like a space person. I had all this crap all over my head, sticking out, you know, how a woman is when she's getting her hair colored. And he walks in, and it's a wonder that he was 30 years old at the time, brought his darling little boy. It's a wonder he didn't run, but he didn't. And I sat down on the coffee table in front of him. He was sitting on the sofa, and I looked in his eyes, and I just knew. I knew it was him. And I said, here's what I want to do. I want to sit down with you. Let's make a plan. I've seen some of your jewelry, because the beauty salon person had some of his jewelry that she had bought. So I talked to him, and we worked together over 10 years. And finally, a year after we were into it, I kept saying, I need this jewelry because we're getting ready to go to an archery tournament, and I need you to bring me this jewelry. And he would say to me, okay, I'll get it to you. Well, finally one day he said to me, and he called me Miss Nita, he said, I can't afford to buy the silver and the stones because that takes food away from my children. I said, Brian, why didn't you tell me? I'll go and buy it. I have the license. I can go in and buy the silver and the stones. And I never intended to design jewelry, Lonnie. That was not intended at all. That was not my plan. But I found myself going back to my artistic ability, and I designed a lot of the jewelry. And so I would make him out a ticket, Brian make it size 7, make this ring this way, and all of this. And the kid would bring it back to me exactly the way I wanted it. He was always on time. So we solved that issue. We were able to take care of that issue. And so we worked together a long time. I'll tell you, it was almost 3 years before he would actually even talk to me very much.
People are unique, you know.
Well, and it was their culture. Lonnie, sure. He was trying to stay 1 foot in the old ways and 1 foot in the new ways. He was in Las Vegas, New Mexico, even though it was a very Hispanic town. He was probably one of 5 Native Americans in town. It was not an area for the Native American people at all.
Well, Nita, one reason I'm so excited to interview you is I'm a huge fan of art. Okay,
I know that.
I think every one of my paintings in my home is original. I live right up the street from an artist you know, Sylvia Morse. Mm-hmm. She's a friend of mine and she does jewelry also. But I wanted us in this time that we have here today, I wanted us to kind of, for people, maybe to, if we can put a definition to art, what is art? Is it art is music to me? Art is painting. What we do sometimes on the air, that was my artistic outlet. I can't play the guitar. I've been trying to paint for 6 months now. It's a disaster. So we all have our own gifts. But East Texas, I've always thought of East Texas as an artful place in the state. Central Texas and East Texas are the two where I think are the most art wealthy people. Mm-hmm. And when I say art wealthy, I'm not speaking of monetary, but just cultural, mm-hmm. culturally speaking.
It is amazing the beautiful art from all over the world that are in the people's homes in this area.
I've been amazed by, because I go to estate sales sometimes in the Azalea District, yes. where the older people live, and they had invested in beautiful art.
Yes.
And so is there a definition for art for us, like what represents art? Like Sylvia makes jewelry out of spoons, mm-hmm. you know, and I find that artistic, but is it art?
Yes, of course okay. it is. Now, it would be more like a craft than a fine okay. art. But that's art still. Being able to sing is art. It's that ability to use in yourself creativity and bring it from your mind. You visualize it, then you bring it forth from your hands. It's art goes from the mind to the hands, or the mind to the voice. It's yielding to that
to the
part
next
of
mind
you.
That
yes,
views it.
Yes.
Enjoys it.
It's yielding to your into your from yourself that which you are inside. I say, as a person of faith, we are never more like God than when we create.
Well, we, but some would argue on what's created, on how God-like it is, but certainly that he is a creator. And I would think that most people that have artistic ability are certainly blessed with it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not so you can learn things. You can learn trades. You can learn how to draw. You can learn how to paint. But you can't learn how to inspire yourself. It's either there or it's not.
That is true. And there is a book by Judah Cameron. She's out of Santa Fe. And the book is entitled It's Never Too Late. I can't tell you how many people across my lifetime who have said to me, oh, I want to do that, but I've got to make a living. I want to do that, but I've got to do so-and-so. So they're not allowing themselves to develop to the extent that they have the ability to, that their ability to create is there. And I think sometimes that suppression within the self doesn't let that person develop fully. And then all of a sudden they're retired. Now what do I do?
Well, what advice? Okay, given our audience here at KTBB, let's talk like when someone retires, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say they put in 25, 30 good years, they're retiring, and they have a desire to have an artistic outlet. Do you suggest that they educate themselves first on how to create? They expose themselves, or do they just dive in and do what comes naturally to their heart and mind?
You go to the pool intentionally, ready to do it. You jump in, and you find someone to walk with you through the path until you're able to walk by yourself. For instance, I need an art teacher. I said to someone, I'm going to do the radio show as long as my voice doesn't portray me as old. I'm 78 years old. And when my voice starts quaking, and it will, I will stop. And that person said to me, you know, the best thing in the world you could do is take voice lessons. Voice lessons.
Never too old.
Yes, to strengthen my vocal cords. So that's what I say to the artist all the time. They would come to me and talk to me and say, I've hit a wall. I just can't create right now. And I said, regardless, you do it every day. If you want to be a better artist, you draw or paint every day. Practice your guitar, practice your voice.
That's so true. And it's so frustrating. It drives me crazy. painting, well,
so I'm going to start texting you every day, Lonnie, and saying, have you drawn today?
Have you painted today?
What are you doing?
Well, you're not going to like the answer most of the time, but I found it just in my, like I said, I've been trying it for about 6 months now because I needed an outlet. And I find that when it comes to art, I'm certainly more creative in the abstract form. I think I do better when given 6 or 8 hours on one project and then I'm done. And it's violent and fast and catches what's in my head, as opposed to trying to go back and visit a painting again and having to mix the colors to be correct. I find that the most challenging thing about painting is mixing colors when you come back to the painting to try and get them like you had before. And so I think that would be an example where someone would benefit from education as far as what colors, you know, mixed together. Color wheel, I believe is what they call it.
Yes, and there are those principles and elements of design that you need to study. And that's just a few of each of those. But once you learn those, you begin to understand, and you will look at art in a different way. How many ways can I make a line? How many ways can I make depth in a painting? And sometimes you go to the forefront, the middle front, the back, and then there's a painter in Tyler called Untersee, who's passed away. He would have in his paintings a depth of sometimes 6 backgrounds, six grounds that he was dealing with. And sometimes that's hard to do because of the grade of things. So once you, I really suggest, and I suggest you write this down, the elements and principles of design, and start exploring that. Get you a good explanation book of art. And when you do that, it's good reading to sit down and read. You know what I look at? I don't watch TV at all. I have a big book that was given to me by one of the artists, and it's The Art That Changed the World. And it begins with the art from the very beginning of when it was found.
Prehistoric man. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it goes all the way through to when the book ended. And it's a huge book. That's what I read. I read it, and then I learn so much about how all of this developed. Now, for me, art should be beautiful. That's where my mind goes. I don't like art that is not beautiful. I lost a good friend.
Hold on. Wait. Okay. One moment. All right. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Let's talk beautiful.
Beautiful to me, personally. It might not be beautiful to you.
Well, I understand, but when I think beauty, I think landscapes and people and beauty, natural beauty. Mm-hmm. And so but I personally, I'm twisted. So I find beauty, I'm a twisted individual, and I find beauty
now
like...
I could ask you what that means.
pop art, some of that mm-hmm. stuff is a little more risque. I don't like dirty stuff.
I understand.
But it's, I have an edge to me, like it or not. I have an edge to
well,
me.
Well, you recognize yourself.
And I'm happy with it. You know, it's 57. I'm not changing.
Okay. No,
It is what it is.
You like yourself.
Yes,
I
love myself.
That's a good place to be in life.
It's not bad to be a human and still be able to like yourself. But I do think when, and it kind of goes to my first question, we're defining art, we're defining beauty. And how easy is it to define beauty
okay.
in art?
Let's look at it this way. Let's take a garment. I am going to look at a garment, and I'm going to say, that's a beautiful garment. It's not only the fabric that it was chosen,
texture.
It's the way it's made, mm-hmm. the design, and all of those things. It's clean, it's well cut, all of that. It has value, and it's classic. That's my word, classic. Then I go over here, and I see this garment that's not, maybe it's a lots of colors that don't work together, and it's a hodgepodge, it's ill made, it's not well executed. When I look at a
piece of art...
So
you've seen my art.
That is adorable response to that. But that doesn't not make it art. It's just my personal.
Right. No, and that's what I understand. I appreciate Monet.
Yes.
I can't create like Monet.
Art is certainly very personal. What you like in it. And so a person, I think more than anything, is if you're going to buy a piece of art and live with it, it has to be something that gives you joy. It should never be something you look at it and say, why did I buy that? You should be able to walk up to it or walk by it and feel good about it. Don't buy it just because it's something that's going to make you money later. I can't deal with that.
That's a good segue. I'm always interested when they have art festivals downtown. And you'll go out and you'll see prices on art, or you'll go to a restaurant in town where they display art for sale, which I think is a fantastic idea. I honestly wish every one of you restaurateurs would do it because it helps the artist. But value.
Yeah.
Value on art.
I know.
And how do we define the value? Because obviously there are paintings that have already been sold and have created a value. But where is the value? What I know that like a 30 by 40 canvas, to buy the canvas, buy the paint, and buy all the supplies to do a great painting on a 30 by 40 canvas, maybe $100. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's just cost doing it. If we're talking business into art, mm-hmm. so they've got $100 plus their time, which could be anywhere from the 6-hour Crayola thing I do up to 600 hours maybe for a beautiful piece of art. So I can see spending you know, $1,000 on a piece of art that nobody knows what it is. Mm-hmm. My question is, when you do that, now you've got the purchase that you're satisfied with, that's going to live in your home and you can walk by and look at its beauty. Have you purchased a $1,000 asset?
Probably not.
That's great. And it's no different than anything else in life.
It goes back to the name of the artist, Lonnie. It does. It's like getting a football player. Both of them play wonderful, but one of them's going to make it to the big league and one of them's not. Why? It's their name recognition, and what they've done in the past. And so when I came here and I started open the gallery, they would come to me and say, well, help me with the pricing. And they would bring in a painting that I thought was fabulous. And I would say, well, how much time did you spend on it? Let's look at this. What I did try to do, Lonnie, was if it was a well-executed painting and I considered it a piece of art that had value, I really encouraged those artists to price it at a certain level. But there were some that were brought to me that it didn't matter how big they were not something that I could put in the gallery.
Some of the most beautiful things are smaller paintings. I wholeheartedly agree. I know you're not a fan, I'm sure, before I say this, but I've been a fan of Howard Stern for years and years and years. And
Howard, I really don't listen to Howard Stern.
No, I understand. I get it. But what you don't know about him, because you don't listen to him, is he is an amazing artist. And he draws, just all kinds of things. But one of the things that he drew that was just amazing to me was a small, probably eight by ten. And it was of the coastline outside of his house. Mm-hmm. And it looked exactly like it. I mean, mm-hmm. He had spent hours and hours.
Does he do pen and ink? Is that what he does?
He does it all. He does it all. He's a highly creative person. I'm not singing his praises. But
I understand.
But just artistically speaking.
You appreciate him for what he does in the art world.
Yes.
Has he put out a book? Has he done anything like that with his art? Name recognition, that goes back to what I was just saying to you about it depends on who does it. It's name recognition.
Yes.
A piece of his art would sell 50 times more than if I sat down and did the same painting, I will tell you.
The drummer for Metallica, $15 million, I think, was his highest for a painting that he sold. Now, it was as big as most homes. It was huge. But it was who did it.
Yes.
And beyond who did it, it was beautiful.
Yes. Let me give you another way to look at it. We raise quarter horses.
Okay.
That quarter house horse, when that colt hits the ground, that foal hits the ground, its value is all about genealogy. What? Mm-hmm. What was the dam and what was the sire and back. Mm-hmm. Because if that, let's take Metallic Cat, a cutting horse, any of those little horses, and we have a great-grandson of Metallic Cat, he comes into this world worth a whole lot more than one that's just a regular horse that's not registered.
By the way, again, to my initial question, defining art, to me, riding a cutting horse is art.
Oh,
it's not
my.
A sport. It's art. It's beyond.
If you've ever seen it happen, I love to go to Fort Worth and just watch it because it is a dance. Dancing is an art.
Okay, we're going to nail this down before we got like 6.5 minutes to nail this down. I'm going to nail you down on this because it's getting painfully interesting to me. So art is something that brings you and others joy, mm-hmm. that can develop an appreciation, that takes skill to do correctly, and is enjoyable to view as to be done. Would those, how'd I do?
You did fine.
Okay.
You did fine.
Because it's abstract.
But I will tell you, because I'll tell you this, not everybody has to be trained to be a wonderful artist or a wonderful singer.
Oh, absolutely.
But there again, to move to those levels and be in the competition of life, those things will never hurt to go back and learn more about your skill, always learning more about your skill. How do I up my game? Let me give you a story about a young man. He's here in Tyler. He brought me a little piece of art, And I said to him, I can't put that in the gallery. It is not there, but let me say what I want you to hear. You have talent. I want you to go back, and I want you to practice and practice and practice. A year or two later, and it was that long, he came back, and I said, you're getting there, but I need you to go back and do something else.
Okay.
He did, and he brought me this wonderful piece, and I put it on the wall, and he sold it. Now, he would have been so discouraged if he had that first piece in the gallery, and it had just sat there and sat there and sat there and never sold. But because I had the ability to say no to him, but encourage him at the same time, that young man now sells his art. And he's worked in the gallery for us. He's a tremendous young black man, and I am so proud of him. One time he was helping me at my aunt's move some things, and there were some old books. And so I said, why don't you take these books and use these books on your paintings and put it on the canvas and then paint over that. I love how you paint these beautiful women's faces. And he did that. And some of the pages were upside down. Some of the pages were crossways. You could see some of the writing in through it. But it wasn't an original idea. Other people had done it before. But I wanted Brian to find something that was his. And he has really done well with that. I'd like for you to see his art.
I can't wait. I'm very excited. You still have a gallery, correct?
No, I'm retired.
You're retired. So
I closed
no gallery.
The gallery. But let me tell you this. I still do. Do we have any time?
Mm-hmm. Got a couple minutes
left. I still put art in Rogers Nursing Health Science Building on TJC campus. We've done it for 6 years.
Okay.
I put it at the College of Pharmacy building on the UT Tyler campus. We just installed an entire art collection in the new space out at UT Health out north for the School of Medicine, the new School of Medicine where they're teaching right now. Of course, they'll be moving. And then we have been asked to put art in the Muntz Library on the UT campus. We don't charge for that. Tyler Museum of Art works right along beside me. They hang it professionally. I call these artists and I say, we're doing this. Would you put a piece of art in for a year? And what it does for those people walking those halls, there's no amount of money that pays for it. You can't buy that.
Wow. I think we can, in the last 2 minutes we have, need it. Tell people what they can do to help the art world here in Tyler.
Go to the art events. Support the symphony. Buy symphony tickets. Buy a season ticket. Go. Sit there and enjoy we have the most wonderful symphony in Tyler. Go Tyler Museum of Art. Join the museum. It's not much money at all. Go to their events. Go to their openings. Stand there and look at the art. Immerse yourself in every opportunity you have with art. TJC, Cowan Center, they bring all of these wonderful events, performances in the area. And go to downtown if there's an art event. Go out to the brewery when they do things at True Vine. There is always something to do in Tyler, East Texas.
And urge your kid to get into art. I mean, they can't write cursive. The least they can do is paint now.
And cursive is going to be an art form.
It already is. It already is. I saw a teacher had written on a piece of paper the student handed in, please quit writing in cursive, and it made me want to cry.
I know.
It's terrible. Nita, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let's tell everybody again where they can find Art Connection, which is on our station on Saturday mornings at 8.
8 a.m.
to 9 a.m.
And we interview art every day. I've interviewed tattoo artists. I've interviewed car artists who actually bring old cars back to life. And my goal is to learn something about art they never knew before every day.
thank you so much for joining me on In Focus today.
Thank you, Sue.
I appreciate it. I look forward to hearing your show on Saturday, and I hope you have a great weekend after it's over.
I will.
All right.
Thank you,
Lonnie. We'll see you next week on In Focus.
Okay, bye-bye.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, and we thank you for listening. Join us again next week. We'll